Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Shortly after the Dallas Theological Seminary opened back in 1924, it almost had to shut down because they were unable to pay their bills and they were threatened to be foreclosed on. The president of the seminary called all of the faculty and the staff together to pray for a miracle, that God would some way, somehow make a way for them to be able to pay their bills and keep the doors open. In the course of that prayer meeting, a man by the name of Dr. Harry Ironside prayed these words: "Dear God, we know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of your cattle and send us some money." About that time, a Texas businessman walked into the seminary's office. He said, "I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know if you need what I have, but here it is. I sold a load of cattle." True story. The receptionist took that envelope down to where the prayer meeting was taking place, handed it to the president of the seminary. He looked at it. It was the exact amount to pay all of their bills to the penny. The president of the seminary turned to Harry Ironside and said, "Harry, God sold some of the cattle." Isn't that great? Now let me tell you, what are the odds of that happening? Without God, maybe 1 in 1 billion. But with God, 1 in 1. Because before they met to pray about the need they had, God was already at work supplying the answer. Pastor, I feel like telling somebody this morning, before you even got here, before you even walked into this room, with difficulties and challenges and obstacles and even opportunities, God has already been at work making a way even where there seems to be no way. We serve a great, big, wonderful God who is able to do, according to Ephesians, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to His power that works in us. What a God. What a great God we serve. And yet, with all of God's greatness, with all of God's grandness, this God is able to step into the middle of our personal challenges and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He is here with us today. How many know that? Well, I want to hurry because I don't want you to get through before I do. You'll get that going home look in your eye. And I'm not talking about going home to glory either. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to read 3 verses to begin with. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. I want to talk just for a few moments, and I really believe the Lord has put this in my spirit, on the thought, it's not all over yet. All right. It's not all over yet. Let's start reading at verse 1. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst," or the middle of the valley, "and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" Someone said Ezekiel could have been a politician. Did you hear that answer? "Can these bones live? Lord, you know." Well, let me tell you, God does know. And God is able to take disjointed, dry, depressed bones and cause them to live. You know, it's so easy to get down in life today. It seems that I meet people all the time who are down in life, having a tough time in life. The marriage is bad. The job is the pits. The family has gone to the dogs. The spiritual life is dead. And I see people that are just down, having a tough time getting up. I remember when my oldest son was about 4 or 5 years of age, I went into his room one night to tuck him into bed, pray for him. And I leaned over and he looked up with that fluffy hair and those big brown eyes and he sighed. I said, "Son, are you okay?" He said, "Dad, I never thought life would be this hard." I bit my lip. I'm thinking, here's a 4 or 5 year old talking about life being hard. Well, now he's much older. I think his description of life being difficult and hard would be much different today than it was when he was 4 or 5 years of age. But the fact is, life can get you down even when it deals with things that are supposed to make our lives easier and more enjoyable. And when you get down, let's face it, sometimes it's difficult to get up and get going again. But I believe with all my heart that God has sent me by this place today to tell somebody, you can get up from the place that you inhabit. You don't have to stay the way you are. You can have victory in your life. You can have deliverance in your life. You can have joy in your life and peace and power and productivity in your life. Your life can have meaning and purpose and direction, and it all comes in and through a living, loving, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you happened to have stumbled into this place today and you have not connected with Jesus, all you have to do is say, "Lord, I invite you to step into my life, take control of my life. I confess I've blown it, I've messed it all up, and I'll tell you this, the Lord with loving arms will wrap those arms around you and love you with a love that is unending." If you believe that, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Hallelujah. Let me talk about four things very quickly this morning. In fact, there are four things out of this passage of Scripture that stand up on tiptoes and demand to be noticed. I mean, you can't miss it here. First of all, we're going to look at the problem. Some of you are going, "No. No. I don't want to hear about problems." You may feel like the guy that was talking about problems. He said, "I've got them. You've got them. Adam had them." You may feel that's problems. But problems are a part of the reality of life. But we don't stop with a problem, because the next thing we're going to notice this morning, we're going to see and hear a proclamation. A word from the Lord. How many would like to hear a word from the Lord today? I believe there is a word from the Lord for those of us who are gathered here this morning. And then the third thing, I want to warn you up front, we don't like this one. So get ready. It's called process. Oh, we don't like that. You know what we want? We want 1, 2, 3 equals victory. We don't want the process. But process is very important in this thing called victory and faith, walking out who we are in Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, we're going to notice and hopefully receive the promise. The promise. Let's dive in, shall we? First of all, the problem. This passage is interpreted in various ways. Some see here a prophecy of the return of the Israel, of the exiles back into Israel. Some see here an Old Testament statement concerning the resurrection of the body. Some see here an analogy for the spiritual rebirth of the church. And some see here the restoration and resurrection of ancient Israel in the last days. But however you view it, in the context that is given to us here, one thing we know without doubt, and that is this. These people were hurting. They were in exile. Their nation had been ravaged. The great times of worship were over. Life as they knew it was over. They were down, it seemed, for the count. They'd given up. There was no more hope. For 10 years, they'd been living in captivity with absolutely no hope in sight. Listen to what they were saying. Verse 11. They say, our bones are dry. They're saying, our hope is lost. They're saying, we ourselves are cut off. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Now, why is that so significant? It's significant because many times our talk reveals our attitude. What we're speaking is an indicator of what is going on inside of us. In fact, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And they're saying this, we're nothing but dry bones. We've been cut off. There's no hope for our future. I think if we're honest, I think we have to admit many of us in this room find ourselves in the same place as was Israel in this passage before us. That sounds like some of our complaints. That sounds like some of us when we're down and we can't seem to be able to get up and move on with life. So we go around and we say things like this. Well, I've had it. This is it. My situation's never going to change. I'm never going to be free from this bondage in my life. The way things are, that's the way that it will always be. I guess I might as well learn to live with it. I guess I'm just going to have to put up with it. My situation will never be different than it is right now. Many of us are like the woman who met Jesus one day in Mark chapter 5. Mark 5 verses 25, 26. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had, but she did not get better, but rather she grew worse. Can anybody relate to that? Can anybody identify with her story? No matter what you have tried, your plight only seems to worsen. And let's be honest, sometimes we feel we've spent it all. Sometimes we feel we've been to the best doctors. Sometimes we feel we've talked to the best counselors. Sometimes we feel we've hashed it out at the best hair salons. We've tried to drug ourselves out of it. We've tried to drink ourselves out of it. We've tried to withdraw ourselves out of it. And some of us have even tried to eat ourselves out of it. But like the woman in Mark chapter 5, we're no better. We just can't seem to be able to get up and get on with life. And we feel we've got no more money left. We have no more friends left. We have no more time left. We have no more determination left. How do we get up when we are where Israel was in Ezekiel 37? How do we get up when we are where this woman was in Mark chapter 5? I want to tell you how you do it. Mark 5 verses 27 through 29. When she heard about Jesus, She came behind him in the crowd and said, "If I can only touch the border, the hem of his clothes, I will be made whole." So I see her as she reaches out, perhaps a trembling, transparent hand, and she touches his clothing, steps back into the crowd. Notice how the Bible puts it. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. Oh, I tell you something, what we've got to do this morning, if we're down and we can't get up, if you feel like the walls are closing in on you, if you're facing what seems to be an insurmountable, impossible mountain in your life, the thing we've got to do is touch Jesus before we walk out of this room. The thing we've got to do is connect with Jesus before we walk out of this place. Sometimes you got to press through what other people say. Sometimes you got to push through in spite of your own feelings or lack of feeling and the objections from others. Sometimes you got to push even in spite of criticism around you. Sometimes you've got to hang in there even when others are rolling their eyes at you. Sometimes you got to keep moving forward until you touch Jesus and Jesus touches you. I know this is going to sound extreme, but listen to me. If you've got to crawl, crawl. If you've got to push and press, push. If you've got to ignore some junk, ignore that junk. If you've got to overlook some stuff, overlook that stuff. If you've got to forsake those things, forsake those things. Forget those things. But I tell you, by all means, before you walk out of this room, you've got to touch Jesus and allow Him to do what only He can do for you in your life. Maybe your situation looks possible. Maybe it looks hopeless. But according to the Word of God, all things are possible to those who can dare to believe. According to Scripture, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. You know, if we had to stop with a problem, we'd all leave depressed, wouldn't we? But there's a second thing that I see here, and it's the proclamation. Notice it. Verse 5. "Thus says the Lord God, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." Do you see it? God spoke into that situation. There was a proclamation from heaven. There was a word from the Lord. "Thus says the Lord," or "this is what the Lord says." You know, Ezekiel was great, but he couldn't make those bones live. But God could. You know, I really believe this. This is not hype. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. But I believe the Lord has brought me by today to speak a few proclamations from the Word into somebody's life. God proclaims in Hebrews 7:25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us." Here's what that really means. That means no matter how far removed you feel you are from the Lord, he can reach you. He can touch you right now. His hand is not short that he can't reach to where you are. That is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household." That means your family can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your household can experience a transformation. That is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in 1 Peter 2:24, listen, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. Here it is. By whose stripes you were healed. That means this morning, right now, you can be healed, body, soul, and spirit. My Lord, I'm fluid now. You don't have to wait for some super duper to come by and call you out and prophesy over you and tell you things they're not supposed to know about you. All you have to do is believe in the power of the Lord and you can be healed. You can be healed right now. Oh, hallelujah. Because that is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Here's what that means. You can have that answer to prayer. It is not impossible. It can happen because that is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in 3 John 1 and 2, Beloved, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. Here's what that means. That means God wants to bless you as you grow in him. How many believe God wants to give you favor in your life? Somebody asked me a while back, what's favor? I believe favor is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God wants to give favor. That is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or clothed with power from on high. That means that we can connect with God and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you know why the Holy Spirit is so important to us? Not to make us jump higher. Come on. It's not to make us sing louder. Right. The Holy Spirit equips us to walk out our faith. To get up one more time. Yep. To get up when we've been knocked down. That is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in Romans 8, beginning with verse 35. Listen to the question. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay, no, listen. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. What that really means is this: we can make it. We can win. We are born of the Spirit to overcome. That's the word of the Lord. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now, no condemnation, no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That means that we are clean. When Jesus lives in us, we are free. Our past is past, never to be remembered against us for one second. That is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means God wants to bless us as we grow in him. What that means is this: you don't have to worry. God will take care of his own. You don't have to stay up at night. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown. You don't have to wring your hands. You don't have to lose your mind. God will take care of his people. That is the word of the Lord. God proclaims in Jude 1:24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy," that means this: God knows how to keep us until we come face to face with him in another time and another place. You've got his word on it. You've got his promise about it. You've got his commitment to it. And you need to hear this: there will be problems. Just go ahead and give me a Presbyterian amen and nod. There will be challenges. There will be difficulties. Mark it down. But the word of the Lord says, here it is, you will live. I don't know who I just spoke to. Some of you have been wondering how you're going to make it. But the Lord says to you right now, you will live. I know it's been tough. I know you've been mistreated. I know people have come against you. I know the finances seem to have bottomed out, but you will live. I know you can't feel anything on the inside, but you're going to live. You are going to make it because the word of God is true. And God is quickening that word in somebody's spirit right now in this room. You are going to make it. Turn to somebody and say, you will live. Come on, tell them right now. You will live. Got to get to what we don't want to get to. The process. Listen to what happens. Ezekiel 37 verses 5 through 10. Here it is. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together. Bone to bone. Ankle bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the knee bone. Knee bone connected to the thigh bone. And I better move on. I can't sing like your pastor. "Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them. And they lived. And they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now right here is where so many of us, Pentecostals, Charismatics, miss out on what God wants to do in and through us. Listen, we're very experience-oriented. We like events. That's okay. We want it now. In fact, I wanted it yesterday. That's just the way we're made. Now, let's face it. God could have caused these bones to just pop up out of the ground, and there would have been people standing around everywhere. God could have waved his hand over that valley, and there would have been people standing all around that valley. But God chose to use a process. Here it is. He brought them together, piece by piece, bit by bit. I need to ask a question. Is there anybody in this room that ever gets impatient with God other than me? I'm going to confess this. I don't want a process. I want a profound event. I don't want to have to pray through. I want somebody to call me out, prophesy over me, lay hands on me, and for God to zap me. Zzz, thank you, Lord. I really needed that. I don't want to go to the backside of the desert like Moses. I want to lead the nation today. I don't want to be taken away from home and spend years in a dungeon like Joseph. I want to lead Egypt today. I don't want to be chased like a criminal and hide in caves like David. I want to be anointed king of Israel today. I don't want to have to go out in the desert and get along with God like Elijah. Oh, no. I want to pray short prayers and call down fire today. I don't want to have to go to the cross. I want the resurrection now. But listen to me. No cross, no crown. No death, no resurrection. No suffering, no glory. No filled tomb, no empty tomb. If we're going to bear his cross and keep his name, we're going to have to carry that cross when it's tough and it's rough and we wonder if God has forsaken us. But listen, God, oh, somebody needs to grasp this. God is at work in our lives right now. Some of us are right smack dab in the middle of the process, and in the process, it's tempting to throw in the towel and run and quit. But I need to tell you, don't you give up in the middle of the process. Don't you quit and bail in the middle of the process, because if you'll stay faithful, if you'll keep on and hang in there, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, you'll have victory and overcoming power in your life, and you'll be glad you were faithful in the process. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord with me. I know how it is. You may feel like you're a few bones today. I'm speaking prophetically right now. Others are coming. You say, well, I just feel like a skeleton of a person today. Listen, muscles are coming. You say, well, I got a few muscles, but I don't know. Skin is on the way. Some of you are saying, well, I just feel like a full-grown corpse of a person right now. This is for somebody here today. Breath is coming. Life is coming. Please hear me when I tell you, the way things are right now, that's not the way it is always going to be. You are in the middle of the process. But if you'll stay true in the process, you'll be able to rejoice that the God that you have worshiped and been faithful to has been faithful to you even in the middle of the process. Let me tell you something else. God picks us up in the middle of community. It's not a solitary, alone, out there by yourself kind of a thing. Ezekiel looked around. Everywhere he looked, there were people getting up off the ground. Everywhere he looked, there were people coming alive. Everywhere he looked, there were people starting to stand. Pastor, if we just look around, if we just take the time and look around this room, you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at some people who have been down, but you have gotten up. Some of you have been down in your marriage, but you got up. Some of you have been down in your physical body, but you've gotten up. Some of you have been down financially, but you've gotten up. Some of you have been down emotionally, but you got up. God has brought us together this morning so we can say to one another, the same God that helped me is the same God that will help you. The same God that kicked open the prison door and set me free is the same God that will do it for you. The same God that healed me emotionally is the same God that will heal you emotionally. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, I sense the Holy Ghost in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But here's the bottom of the well. God is at work right now. We're going through the process. There's one more thing I've got to touch on very quickly. It's called the promise. The promise. Verses 13 and 14, then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. There it is.
Hallelujah.
Somebody's going to get up today.
Hallelujah.
You're going to live. It's going to happen. I'll place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Says the Lord. God had sent His Spirit upon them in verse 10. Now He's telling them, this is what is out there for you. Now remember, this is important. They're in captivity right now. That's like some of you feel. I'm in captivity right now. I see no hope. There's no way out of this. They're in bondage now. You feel, I'm in bondage. This is never going to change. But please understand this. God's promise is not rendered false by our present circumstances. God's proclamation, His word to us, is not affected by what is going on in our lives right now. You know what just flashed in my mind? Gideon. Gideon. He's hiding in a wine press, afraid the enemy, the Midianites, are going to come in, steal it from him. The angel of the Lord shows up and says this, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon wants to look over his shoulder and see who he's talking to. Calls him a mighty man of valor, and I'm like, mighty man of valor? He looks like a coward to me. But you see, what we fail to understand so many times is many times we look at somebody and we judge them based on what we see. But we can't see what God sees. I've looked at some people and I've thought, my goodness, that looks like a failure to me. And God says, oh, no, that's a champion that I'm looking at. I mean, I've looked at some people and I thought, that's a timid, shy nobody that I'm looking at. They're so shy, they wouldn't even lead in silent prayer. And God says, oh, no, that's a winner that I'm looking at. We look at somebody, that's a flimsy destined to fail. If I've ever laid eyes on anybody that's a flimsy destined to fail, that's one right there. And God says, oh, no, that's a conqueror that I'm looking at. Now, the Lord wants me to leave you with just this. God wants us to know today, you may feel like you're just dried up bones of a has-been generation. But God says, I'm going to pour my glory out on your life. God says you may have failed so many times you can't even recall them. But God says, I'm here to be gracious to you today. God's saying to somebody, you're locked into a lifestyle you want to get out of, but you feel like you can't get out of it. God says, I've come to set you free. Because whoever the Son sets free is really free. You say, oh, you don't understand. I'm sick and I can't get well. God says, I'm here to heal you. Oh, but I don't have a dime to my name. God says, but remember, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I will provide for you. And listen to this. Listen to this. When the Spirit of God moves over us like He's here today, nothing is impossible. Sickness has to flee. Satan has to flee. Death has to flee. And when the Spirit of God moves over us and gives us a word like He's doing today, we are able to stand on our feet. We are able to get up and stand through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me right now? Can I do something? I really feel like doing this. I want to ask everybody that's physically able. If you're physically able, come and stand here close to the front. Would you just do that where you are? Would you just come and stand here close to the front? I want to pray for you. Oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Wow. Wow. This is beautiful. Wow. Here's the problem. Here it is. Are you ready? Here it is. Here's the problem. Death. Death is the problem. And I said that for a reason. I need to ask you this. Please don't miss it. What is it that has died in your life? Joy? Peace? A relationship? A marriage? Finances? A job? I mean, what is it that has died? Your dreams? Your hopes? Your aspirations? What is it? Because when I asked that, something came in your mind. Something has died. That's the problem. I know what it's like to have something die. That's the problem. Here's the word of the Lord, the proclamation. Here it is. You will live. You will live. You know, I love it when I go through something and the Lord just steps in and boom. Thank you, Lord. Then there's other times it seems like it's lasting 40 forevers. God, where are you? Have you lost my name and my address? This process is tough, God. Hey, rejoice when the Lord comes through quickly, but be faithful when you go through the process. The process will teach you to lean on God. And here's the promise. Not only are you going to live, but you're going to stand on your feet. And you are going to be part of an exceedingly great army. Now, be honest. Be honest. Anybody slip up your hand, say, I've had something die and I need a resurrection. Just hold your hand up. Just come on. Oh, wow. Just before Pastor comes, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for one another. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Pray one for another. That's what Scripture says. So just gently reach over and lay your hand on somebody. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for resurrection. Come on. I believe while you're praying for them, God will resurrect something in your life. While you're praying for them, He's going to resurrect joy. While you're praying for them, He's going to give you peace. When you're praying for them, God is going to give you encouragement. He's going to open a door. He's going to break a bondage and addiction off of your life. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for resurrection. I pray for that dream to resurrect. I pray, God, for that enthusiasm, that excitement, that vision to resurrect. I'm praying, God, for that marriage situation that looks absolutely hopeless. Bring about a resurrection. Bring about resurrection. Lord, we pray one for another right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that relationship that has soured, God, cause it to be sweetened by your Holy Spirit. That person who feels like their arms have become heavy and they can't keep hanging in there and holding on in the middle of the fight. I pray, God, for supernatural strength. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want you to do, okay? Are you ready? As Pastor comes, I want you to tell two or three people. I want you to give them, even if you have to fake it, give them your biggest, brightest, best smile and say this: you will live. You will live. You are going to make it. God is still God. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Come on. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.